Well, good evening. It's Saturday, March 9th, 2024. And in our study this evening, we'll look at the 16th and 17th sections of Psalm 119. And that will include verses 121 through 136. The 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Ayin. And it appears a couple different ways in spellings, A-I-N or A-Y-I-N. And its meaning comes from a noun that means eye, E-Y-E, our organ of sight. And the word tells us a lot about the eye. First and foremost, I think of the Bible speaking of the eyes of our Lord God. In Proverbs 15:3, it talks about the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, or beholding the evil and the good, I think it says. So God is spirit. He doesn't have eyes, ears, nose, taste buds, or a mouth, or even arms or legs. But the word does attribute human-like qualities to God for the sake of understanding that physical, spiritual mechanism. Excuse me. But there is not one thing in heaven or earth that can hide or be hidden from the watchful, all-seeing eye of the Lord God. And His children, us, intent to do His will, we aren't intimidated by this truth that we can't hide from God and do what maybe we shouldn't do. No, because we know He is always present. He is always overseeing and safeguarding all of His creation, and certainly His children. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, it's actually a kind of a tough explanation to Asa, the king of Judah at that time, but it does reveal a powerful, positive truth. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." And perfect means at peace. People whose hearts are whole or who put themselves in His safety. You know, we're trusting in Him. And unfortunately, Asa had put his trust in another king at a battle time rather than God. It was a foolish thing for him to do, but he did it. But the positive part of this verse for our learning is that God will show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is safe with Him, at peace with Him. God's seeing and knowing has no bounds, like I said, no lock, no door, no darkness of night obstructs God's knowledge and His seeing abilities. No matter the circumstances, we can always count on His individual, intimate care over every detail of our lives. We have no need to worry, no need to fret, because He already knows. He has already seen in His foreknowledge and has all the details lined up. Yeah, so we can kind of see why the eye is considered the organ of perception and insight. Figuratively, it indicates understanding, or it can indicate the lack of it. How many times in life has a light bulb gone off in our brain? They call it an aha moment sometimes. And we comment, "Oh, now I get it." You know, all of a sudden we see, we understand, we perceive. And that understanding comes from us doing what we know to do. Might just be a little bit, but as we do that, we get a little more understanding. We get a little more comfort. We can do a little more. And among the Hebrew teachings, because the eye does not speak, it represented humility to see and to do, versus talking about doing something or talking back to God about why we can't do it. In Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye." So the light in our body is there in correspondence to our spiritual understanding, or, you know, and so when our spiritual understanding is flourishing and we are seeing what to do and we are doing it, our entire life is full of light. In Psalm 119:121, I have done judgment and justice, David said. Here he starts off. Leave me not to mine oppressors. And that leave me not means cause me to rest. Make things quiet for me. Only God can do that. You know, this is a very insightful and wise prayer. David kept busy doing the word he knew, the word he understood. He didn't just sit through this prayer session with God asking for things. He contributed his full-hearted fellowship to God's rule about life. And, of course, God is faithful to do his part. But it is God that actually puts the power to the quietus on the noise on the outside. David knew what the oppressors were up to. They wanted to violate, defraud, deceive him. You know, the oppressors wanted to trick his eyes. They wanted to make him think he saw something he didn't. They wanted to fool the eyes of his understanding. Apostle Paul's prayer for the believers is so beautiful in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened or lit up, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked through Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. David desired those eyes of understanding. He desired his own understanding to be lit up, didn't he? Sure he did. He wanted his whole life to be full of light. That word oppressors is a word that actually indicates that the enemy is out to drink you up or crush you with his oppression. In the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, we find this admonition and warning in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the Greek for devour is a word that means drink down, swallow up, destroy. And that's the nature of the devil right there. Sober means that we remain calm and collected in spirit. We are temperate and we are circumspect. We don't have to react to the devil's roar. No, we go to the Word, and the Word is already flowing. We're so confident in our peace with God, the devil's roaring is nothing more than a neighborhood barking dog. Annoying, yes, but God's radar is locked. that all-seeing eye of the Lord is ever upon everything about us, all around, throughout, through and through. Ephesians 5, we covered this not too long ago, but it teaches us that in order to walk circumspectly, we must first walk in love and walk in light. So we keep by doing God's judgments and conduct our lives according to his justice. The Greek word for sober and circumspectly, where we read in Peter the word sober and circumspectly here, they are different Greek words, but certainly they're connected in the reality of our believing walk of faith. Back in 1 Peter, in addition to being spiritually calm and collected, we are to be vigilant. And that means we take heed to the word so we do not forget, so we do not lay aside working it, meditating upon it, but we remain active with that biblical lifestyle of remembering. We remain alert and fresh on the word of God. In verse 122, now we'll go. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me, those vain people. In the Hebrew, the word for surety, it's so interesting because it's like entering under one's authority. And the surety is like a pledge of God to take care and to preserve those under his authority. He's there for their prosperity and happiness, the sustaining of that. And submitting to God's authority, it is the way of blessedness. And David cried, don't let them swallow me up and drink me down. You know, he didn't want to be defrauded, violated, and deceived by the oppressing people. Verse 123. He says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Now, it's interesting. This verse begins with the 16th letter, as all the other 8 verses do in this section. But this, the first word in this particular verse is actually the Hebrew word ayin, which means my eyes. David's eyes to draw in God's salvation and to understand God's righteousness consumed him. It occupied all of his time, taking spiritual truths into his mind, sorting through them, living them, working verse with verse, and then receiving God's understanding and wisdom concerning navigating life among oppressors. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Now, the word deal, it has a range of meanings, and they are all wonderful to consider. But according to God's mercy, David desired God to work, to make, to produce, to prepare, attend to appoint, to bring about, according to God's mercy, David's spirituality, and to train him in the statutes. So even as born-again ones, we feed ourselves on God's menu, and he works with that food to bring us along. And that's what David did. You know, he went to the word. It occupied his time. And then God was able to deal with him according to his mercy. So even as born again ones, we feed ourselves according to God's menu, but it's God that works that food to bring us along. And, you know, it's because we can't make ourselves holy and righteous. It's God that makes it. He makes us out of what we eat. In Ephesians 2:8, God made it clear that our salvation is by grace through the faith of Jesus Christ. He made it clear that it's not of us, but the gift of God. Then in verse 9, he clarifies so there's no misunderstanding. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then there's further clarification in verse 10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And these works, God knew and called us to before we even showed up on terra firma. In verse 125, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. David knew who he was in the flesh, and he did all his earthly duties, but look at who he knew he was before God. I am thy servant. I am thy bond slave. I don't want to be free of you. I want to be yours. And just like he taught Solomon, his son, of all the things you should desire from God is an understanding heart that you can discern between good and evil, or discern good and evil. Verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And the root of the word for time, it signifies a response. And it's always time. You know, David's not saying that God hasn't been working, but he's ready to do his part at God's direction, and he trusted God with all his heart. He leaned not to his own understanding. In all his ways, he acknowledged God. He trusted God to direct his path. We read that in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Verse 127, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. By his own choice, his appetite, which he cultivated, his appetite for righteousness caused him to gravitate to the commandments. For him, he loved them more than fine gold. He would much rather eat the word than count his money. Verse 128, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And because he loved the commandments above all worldly riches, the precepts made straight. God's precepts made his way smooth and made all his paths right. So that concludes that section, the 16th. So now we move on to verses 129 through 136. Now here, all eight verses in section 17 begin with the 17th Hebrew alphabet letter, which is P-E, pay. So, whereas ayin meant eyes, pay means mouth, because the letter is very similar in shape to a mouth with a tooth hanging down. Pay refers to the power of speech. And it's kind of interesting, very logical as well. The Hebrew thought was that verbal expression should follow the priority of the eyes, because the eyes symbolize awareness, perception, understanding, insight. And reversing the order would result in mindless talk. The opinion was that the eye receives the insight and the mouth then gives the voice to verbalize the understanding. And I thought that was great. And I must say, as we read these next eight verses, 129 through 136, that make up the 17th section, we will truly see how David articulately verbalizes wonderful spiritual understanding. And I'm thinking by now you've caught on without me coming right out and saying it, but I will say it at this point to make sure. So many commentaries have say that, you know, Psalm 119, David just says the same things over and over and over and over again. And it could seem that way without an understanding of the acrostic psalm and its benefits. But, you know, each of these 22 sections align with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each letter has a meaning. And that meaning kind of sets the focus for that section. So when we read a verse in one section that reads very similarly or even exactly like a verse in another section, then the meaning of the Hebrew alphabet letter, that's what determines how we consider the message in that particular section. And don't we do that all the time when we're teaching verses of Scripture? There's so many ways to teach about one verse, and it all depends on the subject, what part of that verse you emphasize. So, you know, it's really easy to understand when we understand the beauty of the acrostic psalms, or acrostic psalms. It's kind of like, is the emphasis on protection? Is it on understanding? Is it on God training David? Is it on David trusting God? Is it on speaking on God's behalf to the multitudes? And again, the Hebrew letter's meaning leads us to look at the section through the meaning of the letter, and that sets the emphasis or the context. So in verse 129, here are David's words to what God has illuminated in his spiritual eyes. Now he's verbalizing it. Psalm 119, 129, we start. Pay. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Oh, it just sounds so sweet, but boy, when you understand what the word testimonies means in this particular verse. Testimony is a witness, and it indicates that it keeps happening over and over. Maybe not the same thing, but the acts of God keep happening over and over. It's God's goodness on repeat. It's God's love is the default. You know, he is faithful to bless. And he blesses again and again and again and again. So David says, wonderful. And wonderful is a word that means extraordinary, so much so that it is hard to understand how God did it. But we know that he did. On our best day, we could not orchestrate such interwoven deliverances as he brings about for us. How we pray, and then unknown to us, the details just dovetail and fall into place in ways we would have never thought of. Lots of little small things, it's like they all meet at this intersection to work everything out to perfection. Therefore, David was going to keep on trusting in the testimonies. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my gosh. But isn't it true? And we all can relate to the depth of that beautiful verse. And he just articulates it so perfectly. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So, that kind of the entrance of the words, that's kind of like the eye. We start to get understanding. And only when God's word opens to us or unfolds for us does it give us light. The word is light, so when it enters, there's light. We can see and we can understand. And then we become skilled in wisdom. In verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. So, not only do words come out of our mouths, but figuratively, we eat them. Figuratively, David's mouth gaped open, and he panted, and he longed for the commandments. In verse 132, look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. In verse 133, he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And in the sense of speaking God's word, he asks God to establish him in the understanding of his word, to make him firm, to make him ready. David desired to be well ordered in a moral sense as well. And he wanted God to look upon him, to be merciful unto him, as he used to be to all those that loved his name. And that certainly doesn't mean that there was an interruption in God being merciful to those that loved his name. In verse 134, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. So he prays God to preserve him from dangers by any means. Deliver me. And God, as we read in that verse earlier, there's just how wonderful his ways are. We can't even track how he works. We just sometimes know that he did work a miracle. But David doesn't want any fraud. He doesn't want any extortion or violence or injury to his life, to his spiritual life. And don't we pray similar prayers each day for ourselves and our families, for our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and even those we've never met before? Deliver us from the oppression of man so that we can keep thy precepts. Verse 135, make my face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. God, give me more light. Illuminate me. Again, thy servant. He says, thy servant. I'm yours. I'm yours, God. There's no giving me away. Can't take it back. I'm yours. But David was teachable. Verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And this is really a tender verse. Streams of tears flowed from David's soul because of those who did not keep the law. You know, his understanding had made his heart very tender. And on the one hand, he hated every evil way. He hated every false thing that reared up its head against God's truth. He hated evil doings. But yet, on the other hand, we see this tender compassion because he knew for those who refused the word, their plight was not favorable. So that's it for today's study. And as always, there's so much to consider, so much to meditate upon. And God bless your wonderful hearts.